It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, Friday. Salerno's in, he's the company, Mateo's here. Here is Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. The Burbs was just with us, giving us the latest updates on the title lines for the odds for the NBA title next year, which there's still a lot of movement possible with some of the bigger name free agents out there. We're going to get to Paul George, latest rumors with him, little CP3 news to get to as well.
You mean the Kinect clone, Paul George?
Dude, you look so pissed off right now. And it's funny, I was joking earlier about talking to them at the beginning of the show about not putting the Yankee game on a TV near us. We got 55-plus TVs here, and the one directly in front of you
I know
has the Yankee game on. I don't even know who they're playing because those uniforms are so stupid. Is this another one of those City Connect things?
I don't know, man. It's really annoying.
Yeah, it is. That is terrible.
It looks like, honestly, it looks like one of those knockoffs at like the, you know, the slot meet or something.
I know they're playing Toronto, but come on.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I haven't seen one that I like. I was watching, Otani last week and the L.A. one. My girlfriend was like, she was going off on it. She's like, I don't like this uniform and that hat's stupid.
Yeah.
They have like a big D and then there's like a little L.A. in the middle. Like, it's not working.
It reminds me of when, remember those hats they had? I don't know if even still they have them, but there was like, it come from the top and went all the way down onto the brim, like the logo, and they just devoured the whole hat. I always thought that was really stupid, too.
I don't know about you, but especially with certain teams, mm-hmm. I think the Dodgers hat is the Dodgers hat. You don't, and I know people, you know, people wear 83 colors of it. You a big fan of Queer Eye?
Yeah. Never miss it.
So, by the way, absolutely random reference, because there is a dude on there. All he wears are Dodger hats, and he wears every color. And
oh.
I'm like, I hate that.
I mean, I'm wearing Yankees the wrong hats. Color right now.
No, Yankee. But it's dark.
Right.
I can deal with that. But when, like yellow Yankee hat, you're like.
No, yeah, I wouldn't wear that. I can see maybe if, like, you're wearing, like, a yellow jumpsuit and you want it to match, I guess, maybe. But then it still looks like a Lakers hat or something, like a different team.
Now, are you suggesting that you actually color coordinate Greg Salerno with your hats?
Well, I try to get hats that are either black or are neutral so that when I do wear stuff, it doesn't, like, look stupid with everything else. Now, okay. I'm not saying I go out, like, wake up, put everything together, and make sure it's all the right shade and stuff. But I do try to get, like, you know, ambiguous hats.
I try because I have different color hats, but it's like the range is like blue to black.
Yeah. Right?
A couple of red ones. But here's the thing, as you know, and I told myself yesterday, enough with the chubby references. But for me, when I have a red hat, I look at my closet and I'm like, I'm not wearing anything red. So I don't have anything that matches it because
right.
red.
Yeah, I look like an angry bird.
It's not slimming.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's not at all.
Oh, then the pressure's on. We made the very casual bet of there's a belief out there, it's kind of a joke right now, that LeBron, if he stays all 3 years in L.A., his son Bryce will be around to be drafted in year three. And I asked Greg earlier, can either one of us get below 200 pounds? What's more likely, that or Bryce James will be drafted by the Lakers?
It's a better chance of Bryce James winning an MVP, I think, than me getting below 200 pounds. So
Copa America down the road. Get in price right now for a 6 o'clock start. But these are upstairs. $84. The other day, and you saw the attendance, it was not very good. For Jamaica and Ecuador, you could get like $50 downstairs. The $85 and $90 tickets are all mostly 400 sections, so you're up. So that's good. Unless they're duping us again, which I've warned everyone. The ticket brokers, man, gets a little wonky here. You get this feeling like, oh, this is a coveted ticket. And then you walk in, you're like, wait,
yeah,
what?
That's true.
I think this is going to be well attended. And we kind of need it to be. We're not always going to fill that stadium for big events. And frankly, just being here in Vegas, I think, is the draw for the event. But we got to have some games where we do really well with attendance. Like, people have to either come here or locals have to go. Like, we can't have 20,000 in that stadium for all these big events.
Well, yeah, and you can't keep saying that it's full when it's not, because people are going to notice after a while, you know?
Yep.
There's a huge swaths of empty seats. I mean, people see that stuff on television.
Rumors around the NBA. Golden State Warriors are playing hardball, according to one tweet, with Andrew Wiggins, which will prevent him from playing for the Canadian national team in the Olympics. What do you think of that?
Say that again.
They're playing hardball with him, so he doesn't have an extension, so I think he'd be afraid to go and play.
Oh, because he might get injured or not.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I mean, I like Wiggins as a piece, but is he like that kind of player, or is that big of a deal? I mean,
nope. They're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of players. And listen, the NBA has layered this thing from a contract standpoint. Do you want to keep your guys? Big market, mid-market, small market?
Yeah.
You can pay them extra money. Give them an extra year.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do that for everybody.
No.
You know, I mean, I want a max deal.
I mean,
no.
He's a role player. He's a good player, but he's, yeah, you know, he's not that type of guy.
Okay. Along those same lines, and it's not a contractual thing, I've just on this show we've discussed this many times. So say it's the upper end of that, right?
Yeah.
And you do pay someone who is a U.S. men's Olympic team member, you ink them to a giant contract. Right? I mean, we're seeing contracts now.
Yeah.
Hell, Ananobi, and I don't think that would be the U.S. team. Ananobi just signed like 5 for $250. If he wants to play internationally, and if you're the Knicks, are you like, no?
Yeah,
I just signed you to a 5-year deal, to a lesser degree. And there's two. I'll call them bosses to serve.
Right.
Should Mark Davis? I don't think he would ever do it. Should Mark Davis look at his aces? And he's like, 4 are going to go to the Olympics.
Right. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I
would
say that
with all you guys, and then I'll add in the LVCVA whenever this deal is actually signed, I have no idea what's happening in terms of, you know, officially cementing it, that $100,000 thing. You know, in a way, the LVCVA would be on the opposite side.
Yeah,
because the deal for the LVCVA is we want you to go out and wear Las Vegas stuff all the time,
sure,
when you can. So
yeah,
wouldn't it be great if? You know what? Answer Davis first. I'm going 15.
Okay, it's fine. Well, my thing is, and this I always said this about the WBC especially, they got pitchers thrown out there in February and stuff like that. I would be so upset if I had a pitcher with a guaranteed contract and he's out there throwing when he shouldn't be and he hurts his arm or something crazy happens. Like, I would go insane, especially for that stupid WBC that nobody watches anyway. I mean, I would be super, super pissed. So I totally get it. If Mark Davis was to say, you know, hey, look, we've got back-to-back titles. 4 of my best players are going to go over there. Maybe take 2? I don't know.
Is there a fan who has the stones to actually speak up and go, I bought season tickets for a defending championship team?
Yeah.
No, here. Stay here.
I mean,
WNBA season's more important.
It is. And plus.
Well, is it?
Well,
what's more important?
It is to the people paying you.
Collecting gold medals or?
I mean, look.
I know we're not, I'm not telling you what to say, but I also caution myself. I'm like, people really do take that seriously, playing for your country and getting a gold medal. So you can't just go like, but in essence, like, that is your job.
Look, if I pay somebody.
Not that part. Playing for the aces is your job.
Right. If I pay somebody a lot of money and they're under contract and they have a chance to go play somewhere else and they get injured, I'm just telling you, I would be so upset that I would never let one of them go again. I don't even care what it was, for whatever reason. I get it. Gold medal's great. They're going to dominate anyway. They're going to win by 100 probably in each one of these games. I don't know. I don't think you need 4 players from my team.
If you were working for the LVCVA, would you be texting like Chelsea Gray? They're getting close to the gold medal, right? Close to the medal stand.
Yeah.
And you're texting her like, wear the Vegas stuff. Don't wear the USA stuff. I want Vegas presents. Well, you remember the flat back in the day?
Yeah.
Like shoe deals and covering certain logos and putting a
right.
Who was it back then? With Jordan, was it Adidas? Were they the sponsor?
Towel
right over the logo.
It's funny too, because if you watch that movie about Jordan, he almost signed with Adidas first and then didn't because they made such a great pitch, you know, apparently. Nike, if you want to believe the movie, I don't know. But so,
I mostly believe it, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that is it's definitely something. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why they can't do both. Like, couldn't you have, like, an Olympic, like the All-Star game where it says the All-Star game, but it also has,
no.
like.
Can you? No.
You know, come on.
Why? The Olympics are, those USA Olympics and the Olympics in general,
yeah.
with their freaking, what they sell, the sponsorships, they're lunatics.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, you know.
They'd probably, someone would walk up behind Chelsea Gray and knock her down. And then she would have made the whole tournament healthy. And they're like, oh, well, you wore the Vegas stuff that the LBCVA wanted you to. But sorry.
But it's the United States.
We just tore your leg.
You know, it looks cool. It's like, oh, we have so many cool cities in our country. And, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you can bend the rules on that one.
Yeah, probably not.
People pay a lot of money, so.
Unless you give them, like, diamonds or something.
That could be.
Roy Jones.
At this point, who knows what the LBCVA deal is. So I hope they can actually outspend the Olympic Committee. Players who didn't get drafted are starting to sign. We're talking NBA draft. So DJ Burns, we love him, right? He's one of us.
Sure. Becoming not one of us, by the way. He's actually lost a lot of weight.
It sounds like he's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But 6'9", probably 370, was listed about 290. He's a big guy at NC State. He has made the summer league roster and with the Cavs. The summer league roster with the Cavaliers. This is part of why the summer league is cool, though. You will get to see whether it's a rookie,
yeah,
or a second or third year player. Sometimes you got 28-year-olds who've been toiling, you know, in Europe and a little cup of coffee in the NBA. It is one of the great things about the summer league. You get to see guys maybe, you know, you wouldn't otherwise. So DJ Burns is with the Cavs.
I don't think people realize how big wide he's big, but he's 6'9". He's a big dude anyway. I think if he got down to, like, a Charles Barkley size, I mean, he's almost there. He's kind of like Charles Barkley now. But if he got back to, like, a, you know, Charles Barkley playing weight, I think he might have a chance to even make a team. I'm rooting for him.
Some Mountain West guys who signed with teams. Colorado State's Isaiah Stevens with the Heat. Keyshawn Johnson, who was San Diego State, and then Arizona. Heat. This is a good story, but I want to laugh at it. I really am dying because Aztecs fans are so annoying. To retweet all of their stuff, crowing about their best player, Jaden Ledee, and how he was going to be a first-round pick. And right. I saw it when they were doing it like 2 months ago. I'm like, guys, stop. He's a five-year college basketball player who's mostly a pure post player. Now, he's built like a you-know-what house.
Right.
He's 6'9", 260, but, like, the NBA doesn't draft guys like that.
No.
They just don't.
But, I mean, come on.
Everybody... Now, can he play in the NBA? Maybe. But they're not going to spend draft capital on a 23-year-old who's a back-to-the-basket guy with, you know, range out to 14.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's kind of like your mom always says you're the best at everything or whatever. I mean, if, you know, they like you, they're going to pump you up.
Yes, yes. Justin Webster, three-point specialist, good guy, good character guy with UNLV. he helped them out a lot. He has signed with his hometown Mavericks team. So we'll get more updates on the rosters as they start to build them. So we got UFC in town. I was going to talk more Bronny, but I'm tired of it. We got UFC in town. Joe Rogan on the call, as he is for all of these cards. You like Rogan?
Not especially.
And I didn't even ask you what realm I was talking about.
Yeah. I mean, look, as far as the podcasting goes, I think he says a lot of dangerous, stupid things on there that I don't agree with. As a person, I've never actually had a chance to meet the guy, so I don't know how he is just hanging out, maybe having a beer. He's a cool guy. I don't know. But all I know of him is what I see. He says a lot of very Aaron Rodgers-like things on there that are annoying to me. So, I mean, that's all I really know.
Comedian? Stand-up?
I think he's a better podcaster.
Okay.
But he's good. I mean, you know, he has $100 million to do it, so he's a great podcaster, obviously.
He's got a lot of stuff legacy-wise that we can talk about.
Yeah.
But first, let's address this part. There's two prongs to this. And by the way, if people don't know, and if I didn't say it, Rogan has been the color voice of UFC for what have they done now? What are the pay-per-views? Where they're at 303 here, so he's probably done 280 of them.
Whatever. Sure.
Influential sports broadcaster. He's synonymous with his sport. Dana White has been patting Rogan on the back, one, because I don't think Dana believes that most MMA people, followers, maybe analysts, right?
Sure.
Really know what they're talking about. But I think that's him in every realm. Like, no one knows what they're talking about. He's an expert. But with Rogan, he's like, he did it. He has a passion. You know, he's a martial artist. I threw out the question the other day. You weren't on what was it, whatever it was, Wednesday. Or, to be a top-notch analyst in a sport, did you have to play the sport and at what level?
It's ridiculous.
You rolled your eyes.
Yeah, no, yeah. Of course not. Half the best coaches look like they couldn't even jump 2 inches in the air in any sport. I mean, it has nothing. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. Michael Jordan might be the best basketball player ever, probably the worst GM we've ever seen in the league. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. I don't think it means anything. Now, it does help. If you're talking X's and O's and a guy's played before, then, yeah, obviously maybe he'll know a little bit more than the average person, but I don't think you have to be a person that played or fought, especially in fighting. You have to get beat up to know what fighting looks like. I mean, I don't, you know.
I think there is an argument to be made, like, unlike almost every sport, like, all of us have played at some basic level mainstream sports.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know,
that's
sort of what goes into it. You don't know the pressure of staying at the highest level, but, like,
yeah.
You know, you and I have been in fights, not with each other, you know, been punched, but like, I don't know that I've rolled at the local bar, you know, trying to break out of an arm bar or that, you know, hey, you know, go take on this guy who's doing Taekwondo, which, by the way, Rogan was, as a teenager, like a big Taekwondo guy.
I remember he actually
ranked in tournaments. And,
yeah, he was on Fear Factor, and some guy tried to come at him one time, and he put him in like a Muay Thai clinch. I remember seeing that on video. I don't know if it was like actually on the show. I think it was like an outtake or something, but it was pretty funny, man.
That's a good move.
It really
Thai clinch. That's a real good move if you know how to do it.
I've never done MMA. I've done boxing. I did boxing for a long time, but I never did
and
MMA.
You know what? You probably do need to hit some mitts and actually get into a ring to get a little better feel for it. So I don't – like that one with Dana White, I don't get like super – not going to get worked up about it. I will say, though, if we're grading his broadcasting, and this is one of my favorite things on Dana White because he is an expert on everything, but you can't – if you comment on his expertise, he's like, stay out.
Oh, you must know Gooch.
He mentioned Howard Cosell.
Oh, okay.
And he said Rogan is better than Howard Cosell. As a broadcaster.
I don't know enough about, you know, his career as a broadcaster to say something. But that's kind of like, you know, I'm Muhammad Ali when a boxer says something like that. And people are like, come on, man. You know, that's Howard Cosell is kind of like the peak of what he does. If you think about legendary guys. Now, he said some problematic things. You know, it was a different era. As far as comparing somebody to that, it's a little off. I would say a little much.
And it's weird, too, because Cosell was play-by-play guy slash provocateur analyst. Like, he'd give his opinion.
Sure.
Rogan's not a play-by-play guy. I always believed, as I've seen all this develop, first sports talk radio 24/7 from the mid-'80s to now, and then podcast, that Howard Cosell, if he did something on a regular basis, he would be a megastar.
Yeah.
Because he was incredibly brilliant, super brave, and you know, cantankerous in terms of his takes. He would say anything. He had a lot of anger, too.
Sure.
He was actually, to kind of go back to the beginning of this, he was the one who coined the term jockocracy. He was driven nuts by athletes who did get in the broadcast booth but then didn't work at it and just got in because they were a jock, and they're like, you suck and you're not working.
I can't remember who it was, but wasn't there a guy on the Monday Night Football with him that they had a problem with like that?
Oh, he battled with almost every – but, yeah, they had some really toxic teams. I don't want to misstate who the person is.
Yeah, I can't remember the name either, but there was a guy who played football or something, and then he was in the booth with them doing Monday Night Football.
Oh, they
did not like each other
at
all.
A lot of them were like, hey, you're not an athlete. I mean, that doesn't change.
Yeah.
Athletes look at the supposed non-athlete media person and are like, you don't know what you're doing. Shut up.
Right.
But that's not all that goes into the job. But in terms of influence – Rogan's influence, like Cosell, is regarded as one of the great broadcasters and you know, outspoken dudes. And he actually was a champion for a lot of causes. He did get in trouble, actually, for making a – well, he said something that was offensive about one of the – offensive term, the name – Redskins. But made a statement, and they got him in trouble talking about a little monkey running down the field, or look at that little monkey go. But it was like, at the time, he explained, he was like, well, I do that with my grandkids. I hadn't really made the connection. But he was also a guy who, when everyone else was at arm's length of Muhammad Ali and half the country was calling him, you know, a scumbag and a traitor, he embraced the guy and you know, helped him sort of, you know, get through that. He didn't totally help him get through it, but he did. But I was thinking, because when you hear what we talk about on the show, I think most people assume, like, Cofield's going to say that's ridiculous. I don't know if it is, comparing Rogan to Cosell, because in this era, Rogan's influence as a broadcaster is sort of massive. The podcast, I'm not saying he's created all the podcasts are doing well, but the concept of the podcast and the fact that he did so well and got big contracts, I think opened the eyes of companies. Like, we can make money on this. So that's a major influence. The other thing is, I think in a lot of ways, like, he brought this whole new realm for careers and growth to comedians.
He did. There's a couple other guys, like Mark Maron, I would say, get some credit for that, stuff like that. Adam Carolla had one pretty early on. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about podcasts, see, I was talking strictly about the actual broadcasting during the fights. That's why I thought he was comparing him to. If you're talking about podcasting, besides, you know, a guy like Stern who makes a gajillion dollars, $100 million to a podcast is pretty insane. So I guess not a bad comparison if you're talking about that.
And he is very good on the UFC broadcast. Like boxing broadcasters, I think he will fall in a line and see a fight a certain way sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe not completely objective, but that happens with the best of them.
Sure.
I saw that happen all the time with boxing and HBO.
Yeah, a lot of times you'd watch the fight on mute and you'd have a whole different take if you didn't listen to the broadcast versus when they're talking, because it kind of influences you while you're watching the fight. And I did see that a bunch of times.
But I think it's important when you're talking about, you know, who's a good broadcaster or who's the greatest or influential. When Dana White said that he's better than Cosell, it's like, don't just jump to, like, you initially were like, he says really dangerous things. Well, so did Cosell sometimes. That's part of the game. You shouldn't let – I'm not – this is not me getting on you.
Yeah.
I don't think we should – when we're grading someone, we shouldn't let their – the stuff that you don't agree with shape your opinion, because we talk about this a lot. Like, I don't think a lot of people objectively judge what Stephen A. does. And I try to step back. This might not be the right approach, but I try to step back and kind of look at the totality of it. Like, is this person influential? Are they good at what they're doing? Now,
right,
they can be incredibly dangerous. Like, what's his name? Alex Jones is and was incredibly dangerous. They're, like, really hurtful. Now, his bit, as a broadcaster, you're like, my Lord, this is crazy what he's doing, and people are buying into it.
Well, it's kind of like two thoughts at the same time. When you first asked me, I thought you meant, do I care for him in general? And so that's the first thing I thought of, was him trying to get people to eat, you know, horse medicine or something. So I was like, no. But then when I think about, if you ask me, do I think he's successful at what he does, he's one of the most successful there is. So,
And people hated Cosell. A lot of people hated Cosell. So that's where I can sort of compare him. You know, we see a lot of people doing their sports characters, and the delivery of the sports character, there is a brilliance in that. You know?
Yeah.
How, I mean, right now, Stephen A, to me, the last, like, 2 months, I don't know if this was all intended, but he got in some beefs on air and people started coming at him, and then more people started coming at him, and now we think he's leaning into it, and he's like, I'm going to fight everyone. And as a broadcaster, I'm like, God, I admire that.
Yeah.
How does he do this? And it is crazy how many people are like, we hate this guy. It's like, my God, he's just a sports analyst.
But that
is admirable. Like, people are crazy about it.
But that was his shtick. I mean, him and Skip were doing a show together doing this, for a long, long time ago.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if Skip lost his fastball or Skip was never that good. Stephen A. is blowing away right now. And frankly, and I said it at the time, I thought Shannon Sharp getting pushed out at Fox, because I guess Skip had this I decide who's on the show. That show is completely irrelevant, dead. No one sees the videos. And what has Shannon done since? He's gone higher. He's the talent.
Is he?
I think he's pretty good.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying I still think Skip Bayless has – well, you know what? now that I think about, we're talking about podcasting. Shannon does do that stuff on the side that's actually really good. He had that Cat Williams interview, and he's had a couple other bangers on there that are huge. So, yeah, I'll give him credit for that. I guess I just always think Skip Bayless first in my head just because he's been around so long. But, yeah, now that I think about it, I guess that show – well, that show sucks, by the way. I'm sorry. I don't mean like – I don't like to dog other people's shows or whatever, but that Skip Bayless show is just – it's atrocious.
I know. It's bad. He was getting carried by Shannon Sharp. Yeah, so we're just going back to the start of this conversation was Dana White saying – Joe Rogan's better than Cosell. Cosell never actually trained in it, which I don't even know what that means. did it and could speak about it with the love and passion that Rogan does. I don't know about the passion thing. I think Howard Cosell was pretty passionate about boxing.
He certainly was.
Maybe that's a direct comparison. I don't even know if Dana White was talking about Cosell in other sports. But Cosell had pretty good passion for boxing. And what he does – that is more effective, or he's dead. But what he did that is different than Rogan, I don't think Rogan really embraces and leans into the fight rivalries, the fight xenophobia.
Yeah.
The economic stratas. I mean, and this is going in the Wayback Machine, to be part of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. Because
right.
of what was going on outside the ring and the amount of talk Ali was doing. Basically, you know, in some ways, Ali sort of pulled on Joe Frazier. It's going to sound like a crazy comparison. Ali's bit with Joe Frazier was sort of Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
You know what? That's
like,
not,
he's
a,
like, he's
not
like,
a bad comparison.
Basically, he's like Joe Frazier has capitulated and he's, you know,
yeah,
he's doing what the man tells him to do, and Muhammad Ali's like, no, I'm not doing what you're telling me to do. That's not the right thing.
Well, that's the difference between Cosell, though, and Joe Rogan, is the first thing I think of is something like, you know, down goes Frazier or something like that. Joe Rogan, the first thing I think of is like, hey, everybody, the moon's a hologram or something, you know, so I don't really – there's not like a call that I remember from him that's like a huge deal.
We went super long. We got Bobby Marks coming up. He's supposed to be on right now, so we'll take a quick break here. NBA draft analyst and also it's going to help us pump up the NBA Summer League because it's a great event, but Bobby Marks is on the way.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, let's get into the NBA Summer League and also about as good a person you could talk to review the NBA draft. Greg Salerno's here at Steve Cofield, Cofield and Company, and Bobby Marks is up with us here on this Friday. He's ESPN's front office insider. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are we doing?
I'm good. I know you're busy, and I apologize. We got on a little riff there having a discussion.
I was in a car trying to figure out the DeJounte Murray trade. All good.
You never
three
stopped.
Hours in a car, so it's
That's
all
awesome.
All good.
All right. Well, did you figure it out? Because you can explain to us what just happened.
You know, I said to my wife, when you don't have Wi-Fi and you're just like being stuck in the woods with a can of peas, right? You just like it's like survival and everything like that. So yeah, it's a it's an interesting trade. I think certainly we knew kind of that the Murray and Young backcourt in Atlanta did not work, and it was just a matter of which one we're going to go. I think Murray had more value than as much as you want to say about Trae Young, he had more value than Trae Young at this time. New Orleans I think New Orleans gets better. Certainly with we add him and T.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram and still have Zion and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a good trade for the Pelicans.
Bobby Marks up on ESPN Las Vegas. Give me a team in the draft, whether it was a collection of picks or someone who really nailed it in the first round that you came out of the draft, you're like, wow, that was pretty good.
Minnesota. I think Minnesota, just because if they get to a Western Conference Finals, they were so limited as far as what they were at 27 and 37. They traded all their picks and most of all their picks in the Rudy Gobert trade, and then they said, you know what, we're going to give you a 2031 unprotected and a swap in 2030, and we're going to go up and get number 8, and they get Rob Dillingham, who's a really nice player out of Kentucky, and then at 27 they get Terrence Shannon, the big wing from Illinois. And I just thought there's two guys that can come in and play right now. It helps their bench out. The Timberwolves starting five returns. I thought they realized like the window to try to win a championship is right now, even if it sacrifices a draft pick 7 years from now.
What were your thoughts on some teams kind of going back to the philosophy of getting the big. And I'm not saying like Donovan Klingon, you know, can't move and has no stretch elements. Maybe he can develop some of that stuff. But, you know, it's Klingon, but especially the fact that Zach Edey went at 9. I figured the league was done with that, but I think Jokic kind of forced the hand in terms of thinking about it again, about the true power big.
Yeah, no, and then Khalil Ware went at 15 to Miami, another big. Yves Mesig went to New Orleans, I think at 21 maybe. So I think we had anticipated maybe 7 or 8 centers going in this first round. I just think it kind of goes in cycles. We go from, you know, positionless basketball, everybody loves wings, and everybody still does love wings and stuff like that. And then you get into a conference finals, and you get Gafford and Lively, you get Gobert and Towns, you get some of these big lineups that you need to counter.
Let's build on Edey though, because I do think he can be a contributor, but that's not exactly the greatest rationale for the 9th pick in the draft. Can, like, take us in the mind of the Grizz or other teams that were considering him in the first round. What can he be?
Yeah, Zach Kleiman, their GM, as soon as the season ended, he came out and said, I need a big to compliment Jaren Jackson Jr. That's the goal. They traded Steven Adams to Houston, who was injured. They weren't going to find that big in free agency. They probably weren't going to go and find that in a trade here. They viewed him as, you know, it gets interesting. You know, you're usually doing by best available, and I think they probably went more by positional need than best available. I think there was, you know, not much separation among, you know, guys, guys certainly in the lottery here, and it's going to be interesting. You know, you put him with Jaren Jackson Jr. That's an interesting Memphis team. He's not going there to a team that won. That's expected to win, 25, 30 games. This is a team that, if healthy, they can certainly be back in the Western Conference picture.
Talking to Bobby Marks, ESPN. Selfishly, I got to ask you about the Sixers draft. They were looking for a guard. They got one a little bit on the smaller side in the first round. What are you thinking about Jared McCann and how he fits with the Sixers?
Yeah, I thought you could have went Jared or Dalton Connect, who went to the Lakers at one pick later, just because Dalton a little bit of bigger size. I like Jared McCann. I mean, I think, you know, certainly, you know, I would say got to put on some weight to his frame. He's got, you guys know about his personality and everything. I think he's just a really, really got a really good spirit, and he can play. He can shoot the ball. I think he'll fit in with, you know, certainly Maxey and Embiid.
You are a former front office guy. You certainly have familiarity with the Nets. I saw people going crazy about it. Now the total haul for Kevin Durant is 9 first-round picks. What does that mean when you have 9 first-round picks in this era? I mean, there are ways of rebuilding. Can they make – and I'm not saying they're going to make all the picks, but, like, why should fans be fired up? Like, 9 first-round picks.
Yeah, I think it's more about next year's draft. I mean, if I was a Nets fan, I would be more fired up that I got my own first back and the swap rights were eliminated from the Rockets, that I control my picks, in the next, few years. I know you got 5 firsts from New York's, and the likelihood that some of them and ones from Milwaukee will be in the 20s. I mean, that's the reality of it here. But I think what makes it is, I guess, appealing or exciting for Brooklyn is that, listen, they're not going to be very good next year. They're going to be probably one of the worst teams in the NBA. But we're entering a really good draft. Whether it's Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey, one of those players. And if you get one of those, which is a franchise-type player, that kind of accelerates, this rebuild that started. I guess it started with the Durant trade here. Ton of flexibility moving forward. I think they're different than Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, when they built all this draft equity, they had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They get him in the Clipper trade. Brooklyn doesn't have that. That's the one thing that Brooklyn doesn't have, is that kind of that franchise player to build around.
You mentioned some of the guys for next year. Is there a possibility that Duke has a number 1 and 2 pick in Flag? And I haven't seen a ton of Malawach, but I was watching some highlights of him. And between the size, the jumping ability, the ability to fit, I was like, wow, this guy, he projects is just unbelievable. Could Duke have 1 and 2?
Oh, I think there's a there's a better than good chance there. I saw Cooper play in Fort Myers and then in December, and I thought, like goodness, he could probably come off the bench for an NBA team right now. I think he's got a chance. It's going to be fun to watch them play at Duke this year.
Bobby Marks is with us. So NBA Summer League's coming up, July 12th to the 22nd. I know you're going to be out here, and the setup's going to be pretty cool. By the way, we just did like 7 minutes on the NBA draft. Are you so happy that we didn't mention Bronny James one time?
Listen. I think people get carried away with, and I get it. Listen, I know who his dad is, and I know there's probably a big reason why he got picked. If that was me, I'd want my son picked too. I think if you're a parent and stuff, and I think down the road, I think you can help a team. It's going to take a little bit of a while here. I mean, most guys that get picked in the second round at 55 or 56 or 58, you're not coming into the NBA to play right now. And I think you'll see them in summer league. That's going to be the highlight game on the 12th when they play Reed Shepard in Houston. I think Dalton Connect will be there. So that's going to be a fun night.
And as you know, the summer league has had some years where, hey, if there's a good storyline, like I think the best year they ever had, and obviously Wemby last year was pretty crazy. He got some good crowds. I thought the year of the ball family being around was wild. And you know what? Bronny's going to be pretty big business for us here in Vegas for the summer league.
Oh, definitely. Oh, I mean, wait till that jersey goes on sale. I mean, goodness. Oh. I mean, like, I'm sure that thing will explode. So, yeah, I think there's going to be intrigue. There's going to be hype. There's going to be just everything. Like, we saw, remember Victor last year, the first game, everybody's like, oh, my God, this guy's a franchise player? And then he turns out this year to be probably one of the top 20 players.
Tell the audience, and they've seen the analysis, but I want to hear more because we're going to see Alex Saar and Zachary Richesche go against each other on night one. What do you think of those two guys?
Well, it's interesting. Saar goes to overtime elite in Atlanta, then he goes to play in Australia for a year. Rim protector, lob threat, high wire athlete here, a guy that kind of fits what the Wizards are looking to do. They needed some depth in the front court there. He's intriguing. Richesche, big wing. 6'8", 6'9", can really shoot the ball. Probably needs to put on some weight. It'll be interesting how he fits in Atlanta. Now that with Trae Young, and they still have DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella, Sadiq Bey, guys like that here. So if these guys were in last year's draft, they're probably the later part of the lottery, maybe. But I am intrigued because there was, there's a lot of intrigue about guys, certainly international players.
Bobby Marks, ESPN. I thought this was an underrated story early on, and it's starting to pick up steam now. Klay Thompson, what are the chances he actually does leave the Warriors?
I would say that's probably better than a good chance.
Really?
I think, and I don't think money is a factor for him. I really don't. I mean, if he's made a lot of money in his career, I think he's probably at his point that where happiness matters. What role he'll play matters. So I don't. Yeah, I think we'll learn a lot in the next 24 hours.
If you were Klay Thompson, is this easy to answer? Would you pick? They can do it. The Nuggets or the Lakers?
I would probably pick Denver because I would want to play with Jokic.
Wow. Okay. You really thought about that. I thought it was pretty easy. I'm like, I think going, relatively close to home, in LA, his, obviously his dad's been tied to the area forever. He has. I thought, even with that said, though, the Lakers, what do you think about the Lakers situation? What is the upside in the immediacy for the Lakers?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on, what happens with D'Angelo Russell, who's got a player option, what flexibility they have this offseason. You get a rookie coach who's going to certainly go on it's going to be a learning curve for him. Can they do better than getting in the losing the first round? Listen, LeBron and AD were healthy for most of the year. And they still wind up, getting into the losing in the first round here. So it's the Western Conference is a bear. It is not easy there. So I, certainly if you don't get past the first round, it would be a disappointment, but I do think that's going to be a challenge.
Bobby, we appreciate it. We know you're busy. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
ESPN front office insider, Bobby Marks. God, I'm not a Laker fan. I'm a fan of the story. And yeah. I'm a fan of LeBron being able to close out his career in significant games. There's a lot of things I think J.J. Redick needs to bring to the table. If at a minimum, what he brings is the importance of the regular season. And I know when you've got a bunch of older guys, you're like, well, we got to make sure we're ready for the playoffs. But getting ready for the playoffs and pissing away like 8 games that maybe you could win and winning 45 and being in the 7-10 range.
Yeah.
That ain't getting ready for the playoffs. Like they can't be in the play-in game. They got to get a better seat if they can, and they can.
That's why I think Klay Thompson, though I think he would work great with LeBron, obviously it's the kind of player that, you know, would be great next to him. I think they need a younger guy because LeBron's not going to be able to play the whole entire season at 40 years old. And, I mean, Anthony Davis, obviously, even if he's healthy, he's never healthy. He's got a bump, a bruise, something going on. You need somebody – you need some revitalization, I think, on the roster.
If I'm making sort of the money I want, although, as Bobby said, and we say this about every – you know, veteran who's made hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, don't worry about the money.
Right.
You know, this is what I would do. I would go play for a championship.
Sure.
The Nuggets really are a good spot if they can, you know, come up with the money.
Yeah. Because that's the opposite with them. They're young and need a guy like that.
Why keep playing if you're not going to win? And the guy's been on one of the great winning franchises.
Yeah.
We'll see. Now watch. It'll be some shocker. I feel like the Rockets, because they're so young, and, you know, we're seeing, like, weird rumors placed out there about getting some super vet. And he's that next level down.
Yeah.
I. What do you think? Could Klay Thompson wind up in some spot where you're like, really? Like that, the up-and-coming club that, you know, just finished with 35 to 48 wins?
The only reason I don't think so is because of what Bobby said. At this point, I don't think it's about the money. I think he feels disrespected a little bit. And he's going to do one of those things where he goes to another team and tries to prove them wrong type of thing. So I think Lakers, Nuggets, one of the maybe a team in the East, something like that.
364-1100, 364-1100. Let's give away some tickets to Blink 182. Caller 7 right now. Blink 182, it's next weekend. 364-1100, caller 7.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Last chance to get the code word of the day in. You know, we're giving away trips each week. Summer fun brought to you by Planet Nissan. This week's trip is Nashville. Code word is beach, beach, beach. Sandy Beach, beach. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Okay. Now I'm happy that you're watching the Yankee game right in front of you. You're getting really frustrated. Soto just hit a home run against the Blue Jays. By the way, this pitcher is a behemoth. I swear, everyone is gigantic and like...
I know.
Either super muscle or blubbery. This guy, Pearson, 6'2", 55. I was just telling you during the break, Aaron Judge is such a fun guy to watch, along with Shohei Ohtani. They're incredible talents. And I just mentioned this dude, 6'6", 255. I don't – like, Judge is awesome. I don't think people appreciate the fact that he plays center field. Another home run for the Yankees.
And Jesus. Guess who it was?
Your boy,
the much-maligned Gleyber Torres.
Yep. There you go. I don't think people take into account that Aaron Judge is 6'7", and 282 pounds playing center field. The athletes and their size today. We were just talking about Wemby,
yeah,
right?
Right.
It is incredible. Did you see the video I sent over on Anthony Richardson?
Yeah.
He is 6'4", 260.
I know.
He's in a gym. Can you describe the dunk he was throwing down?
I don't know. Like a tomahawk kind of.
But it was like a reverse cradle then a pump. He's 6'4", 260.
I know. He's unbelievable. He can run, man. That dude can run. I think he runs like a 4.38 or some crazy. It's nuts.
The decision now is like how much do you get him out, you know, in space running because he got hurt last year.
Yeah.
But if that's his game. But, man, if he stays healthy.
Well, with Steichen too.
Holy crap.
Yeah, man.
The size of dudes now and women too.
Yeah.
Make sure this weekend you check out my lady in China.
I'm going to. I want to see that robot they built.
Dominant player. Dominant player. Brittany Griner's going to face her in 2 years and be like, oh, my God. Brittany's pretty big. Thanks to Golden Circle. Thanks to Treasure Island for housing the show. Thanks to Mateo. Greg, great job this week. See you, Griffin. Thanks, everybody.